Good morning. Let's just turn our eyes to Jesus. Father, we do thank you that we can come and spend time with you this morning around your word. We ask, Father, that you will speak to our hearts, that each one of us might be encouraged in our walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the mid-1980s, long time ago now, isn't it? I spent 5 years working on a Catholic mission station. It was located in Western Australia, at the top of the Great Sandy Desert. At that time, it was a community of about 600 to 1,000 Aboriginal people from the Gogadja tribe. The mission was established by some Palatine missionaries who were an order of the Catholic Church, and it was called Belgar Hill. Excuse me. These people were some of the most nomadic people. They'd just come out of the desert and made contact with the Aboriginal people. My function there was to be community administrator. I know you're probably thinking, how could someone who was a Baptist pastor be out there? Well, someone in the Department of Aboriginal Affairs thought that I should take up that function and I might be a neutral person. There were some issues on the mission station that needed sorting out. They weren't sure where money was disappearing to. And it turned out that one of the lay missionaries employed by the church to look after the funds had his hand in the till. And he ultimately went to prison in Perth. That's another story. But during my time at Belgar, my office was located right next door to the office of the parish priest in the same building. He became a firm friend. His name was Father Ray Heaven. Yes, Father Heaven. We had another priest on the place, and his name was Father Peel. So the bells pealed in Belgar. Yes, all those things happened. As administrator, I had to have contact with the Bishop of Broome. I had to liaise with him because we were in his diocese. As I carried out my function there, I began to understand a little about how Roman Catholic priests had to work. And I guess if we hear the word priest today, we normally go and think about a Roman Catholic priest. Over the years, there have been instances of misbehaviour by some. But the priests I worked with there, were dedicated men. They were sincere. This morning, though, I want us to look a little bit about into what the Bible talks about when it talks about priesthood and how it benefits us. Israel was primarily designed as a nation to be a kingdom of priests offering service to God. We hear Moses speaking, or Moses being told by God to go to the people and say, "And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." However, from the Mosaic period on, there was a special priestly class established by God. Israelite priests belong to the family of Aaron. He himself was the first high priest of Israel. The priest was the mediator between God and men. They dealt with things that were holy on behalf of men, especially in relation to atoning for sin. Naturally then, priests were separated unto God. Their consecration to priesthood was a very elaborate piece of ritual. They also wore special vestments. The high priest's main function was to officiate at the Day of Atonement ceremonies. This morning, then, I'd like just to refer to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. Let's consider these words. We have a high priest. These simple words advertise three great truths concerning us human beings in our relationship with God. We need a priest. We have a priest, and we don't need any other priest. We need a priest. The Epistle to the Hebrews is one of the two main theological treatises in our New Testament. The letter's main argument assumes that we need a priest, and that we need a priest such as only Jesus can be for us. Yet we don't hear much about that very often these days. Priesthood is probably something, or the term priest is something that the Roman Catholic Church seems to have hijacked, and we want to keep separate from it. Yet we shouldn't. We shouldn't let this keep us from the true doctrine of priesthood as taught in the Word of God. Our need of a priest to mediate between God and us arises from the differences between what God is and what we are. His utter, awful, glorious holiness. God can only be as a consuming fire to us fallen, defiled, human sinners, unless there is an atoning sacrifice and a sinless, qualified, mediating priest. Maybe I sound a little dramatic, but that's how it is. We, in our awful, sinful state, are not worthy to come before this holy, glorious God. We need his forgiveness. I know I do. Maybe you feel your life has been lived a little bit differently and you don't need it, but I don't think so. Even after we have found full and forever forgiveness through the work Jesus did on Calvary, we are still sinners. So the further problem remains. How can we, even as forgiven sinners who are still sinners, hold fellowship with this magnificent holy God? And this is just where the high priestly ministry of Jesus comes in. By his finished work on the cross, we have a full, free, final and forever forgiveness from God. By his intercessory priesthood, we are kept in continuous fellowship with God. I wonder, have you ever considered what Jesus' first high priestly request might have been, or duty might have been, when he returned to heaven? In John chapter 14, we read, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." It was in response to Jesus' request the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. It's the Holy Spirit within us that creates a yearning for fellowship with God as our Father. Yet it is that which awakens us to our need of Jesus as High Priest. So then, since we have a great High Priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he has faced all of the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God that we will receive mercy, his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We need a priest. but we also have a priest. John, in his first letter, tells us how we can hold fellowship with the Father. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Hallelujah. I don't need to panic when I fall and sin. It's not all over. Jesus is there pleading my case. I am safe. My future is assured. Christian, that's God's promise to you. We, whilst here on earth, will stumble, will stuff up, we will yield to temptation. I know I have. But we have an advocate. We have an advocate before the Father. How we need the high priestly mediation of our dear advocate, whose presence before the Father keeps us in all the benefits of the new covenant. He maintains our standing in grace and releases to us the work of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't stand for a moment down here if Jesus, our high priest, was not living up there. Look at our text again. He is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. Such then is our great high priest. Into this heavenly priesthood he entered when he offered himself without spot to God. Our Lord Jesus was never a priest on earth. Whenever he went to the temple, he was as a prophet to teach, not as a priest to sacrifice or burn incense. He was not of the family of Aaron. The earthly priesthood is done away in Christ, except in the sense that all believers are now priests. Peter writes, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. So, as a result, we need no other priest. With Jesus as our all-sufficient priest, we have all we need. For Christ didn't enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. Jesus' priesthood is perfect in every way. No other priest is needed on earth. A statement like that might have got me into trouble at Belgo Hill, or into a heated discussion anyway. The old-time sacrifices were done away with at Calvary. There the once-for-all perfect sin offering was made. Jesus died for my sins and yours. Have you ever said thank you to him for that? The apostles were never priests. They were just laymen. They didn't appoint priests to succeed them. The writer to the Hebrews states, there were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. These next few verses sum it up. He is the kind of high priest we need because he's holy and blameless, unstained by sin, has been set apart from sinners, and has been given the highest place of honour in heaven. What's the upshot of all this? So then, we have a great high priest who has entered heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to what we believe. We're to hold firmly to our hope. A little later in the letter of Hebrews, we read, let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let's not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It's this glorious hope that he, Jesus, who once appeared on the earth as our sin bearer, now appears in heaven as our all-perfect priest, and before long will appear again. In his garments, all shining with heavenly glory, to take us to be with him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy, and so we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the fact that we have an advocate. We have a high priest, Jesus, who acts on our behalf. Father, we don't need to panic because we fail at times. We can come and ask for forgiveness, and he's there pleading our case. Help us, O Lord, to live each day that we might be a blessing to those that we live among. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.